This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Baseball's opening day is just 2 days away, the time of year where Sox fans used to break out into a cold sweat worrying about the curse of the Bambino. Well, having vanquished Babe Ruth's ghost, you'd think the fans would be breathing easier. But this year, Boston has the Sports Illustrated jinx to worry about. Because the magazine has picked the Sox to win the World Series, and that might sound like good news until you consider the fact that Sports Illustrated has been wrong every year since the year 2000. Well, joining us now to talk a little bit more about that, as he does on most Wednesdays, is Only Games' Bill Littlefield. Hey there, Bill.
We're almost all always wrong.
Exactly. We know a little bit about that here. But, but I mean, since 2000, how much should Sox fans be worried about that?
I don't think they should worry at all.
Baseball fans are such a superstitious bunch,
though. No. I think all they should worry about is how Jared Saltalamacchia's name is going to fit on the back of his jersey. It seems to me the only thing they should worry about. They've spent a huge amount of money up there in the front office. They've acquired all sorts of marvelously talented people. They have backup. They are one of the few teams with a backup closer right now. I mean, what could possibly go wrong? So they'll finish fifth.
So I was I was just catching up on a little ESPN this afternoon. That's apparently what I do in the afternoons here on Wednesday. But I did see that someone there said Sox-Phillies in the World Series, because, of course, it's never too early to see who's going to go all the way.
You know, Sox-Phillies, Sox-Giants, it's very easy for people who make these picks to look at last year and say, how could the team that was very good, one of the teams that was very good last year, not be very good again this year? And that's the way they're figuring teams like the Giants
and
the Phillies.
The inertia of baseball
there.
So any other storylines you've got your eye on for baseball?
Oh, there's so many storylines. There's Jonathan Papelbon right here in Boston to see whether he can come back and be a closer again or whether this Bobby Jenks waiting in the wings will take his position. There's whether Daisuke Matsuzaka can pitch again. I mean, they only laid out about $100 million to get him. So far, it's about $5 million a win or something like that. I don't know what it is.
Whatever
it takes,
though.
Don't quote me on that. But, you know, I mean, there are always storylines. There are always old men trying to play for one more season. Tim Wakefield went right down to the line whether he was going to be on the opening day roster. And, of course, kids coming up and that nobody's heard of who, you know, go 5 for 5 in their first major league game, that sort of thing.
Well, that's always exciting.
Absolutely. It's what makes it fun.
Well, you know, so, Bill, I'm glad people can hear you, because is that a wad of sunflower seeds or gum or chaw in between your gum and your cheek?
No, I'm a radio guy and my mouth is absolutely empty at all times.
We're asking because
and my mind is likewise constituted.
Well, I'm asking because we're reading today that Boston's public health commissioner is part of a nationwide push to ban chewing tobacco in baseball. I mean, so smoking's already not allowed at Fenway Park, but why this push to ban
Smokeless tobacco has been known for quite a long time to be carcinogenic. People end up with mouth cancer and tongue cancer and throat cancer and all sorts of hideous conditions.
But
as
unlike
a result
cigarette
of it.
Smoke, it's not blowing in someone's face.
No,
I mean, it's the person who
but
decides
in the old days,
were
you ever in a major league dugout in the old days? I mean, it was treacherous because it was slippery. I'm telling you, there was a bad place to be. The problem, of course, is that the Major League Baseball can't unilaterally legislate something regarding Major League players. They can ban smokeless tobacco for minor league players because the minor league players don't have a union. But when they go to the Major League players and say, we'd like you to stop doing this, the Major League players say, that's a collective bargaining issue. What do you give us?
for not actually using chewing tobacco?
Yeah, the other side management is not happy to have that be a bargaining chip. So they can't just unilaterally ban it.
Well, on to basketball, because, of course, we are in March Madness right now in the Final
April
Four.
April Madness very
April,
soon.
God,
yes,
no kidding.
In fact, it will be April Madness.
And the Final Four then kicks off on Saturday. And apparently one of the big story, there's always a Cinderella story every year, Butler and Virginia Commonwealth University, which until 5 minutes ago when you told me who they were, I was like, who?
It's a great shame that they can't play each other for the championship. unfortunately, they play each other in the semifinals, and so one of them will be eliminated. But they're both great stories, especially VCU. This was a team that had to play its way into the tournament. Lots of people mocked it as not being, you know, good enough, not deserving to even be in the tournament. And here they are in the semifinals, in the Final Four. It's a great story.
Really great stuff. And on the women's side, the women's semis also start this weekend, too.
Yeah, a little bit weird. People figured that Tennessee and Baylor would both go through to the Final Four there to join Stanford and UConn. And, in fact, that didn't happen. So it's going to be, I would say, a very, very good chance. It'll be Stanford against UConn in the final, and that's the game everybody wants to see anyway, because Stanford beat UConn earlier this season. It was the only time UConn lost.
You know, I'd also heard earlier this week that UConn is having trouble, maybe not for the tournament, but they're having trouble filling seats because fans are getting bored of them winning.
Of course,
all the time.
This is all a relative proposition. UConn draws 5,000 or 6,000 people, and Coach Gino Auriemma gets all upset because they haven't filled the building. Whereas most women's programs would be so thrilled to have 5,000 or 6,000 people that they would celebrate and declare a holiday. I think Gino has spoiled UConn fans by winning so often, and then as a result he has become somewhat spoiled by the attention that his program has drawn. And that led to his outburst last week.
So maybe a Stanford-UConn final would put the bottoms back in the seats there.
Well, at the very least, I think it would give fans of women's basketball precisely the matchup that they want to see. Because, as I said, Stanford's the only team that beat UConn this year. Last year, UConn didn't lose to anybody at all. It's a dream matchup in the final.
Cardinal-Husky throwdown would be awesome. So this week on Only a Game, you looked at how the NCAA makes millions off, you know, the basketball tournament, while athletes themselves earn nothing. Is something the NCAA should revisit?
Well, I don't think we talked about the Frontline documentary that, examined that circumstance. The NCAA isn't going to revisit it because the current circumstance is a great deal for the NCAA. It makes them a lot of money. I think there may be legislators who would someday visit it because the whole thing is in court right now. Ex-players are suing the NCAA saying you can't sell our images to video game companies and others without us getting a cut. And when all of that legal battle is concluded, the landscape may look a little different than it does right now.
I remember Charlie Pierce telling you he just wants the college players to turn pro, to be treated as professionals.
Well, it's one way to do it. Pay them. There are other ways to do it. But as I say, it is likely to change as a result of current judicial proceedings.
Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. You can hear it each Saturday at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. on WBUR. And also most Wednesdays right here on Radio Boston. Bill, thanks so much.
Thank you.